Welcome to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, hello and welcome. We value your time and energy and hope you receive a lot from tuning in. As a listener-supported show, we rely on you to help us grow. We'd be so grateful if you share the show or a favorite episode with a friend or fellow health seeker. Living a healthy and nourishing life doesn't always come easily, especially in today's crazy world. But that's why we're here, doing what we love, hopefully helping you along with information and inspiration that fuels your health pursuits. If you're looking for more support, consider subscribing to the monthly meal guide membership. Just $11 per month gets you access to a weekly meal guide filled with healing and delicious whole food plant-based recipes, along with invitations to our regularly scheduled support calls where we can connect, answer questions, and keep the good vibes flowing in our healthy lives. You can learn more at www.alter.health/meal-guides. And if you're looking for more in-depth support, check out our other services. We offer both one-on-one consulting as well as educational programs. All of our current offerings are listed at www.alter.health. Our ultimate goal is to empower you to heal yourself. Keeping with that theme, let's dive into today's show. Hello. Hello there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. This is your source of information and inspiration to promote the holistic transformation of your health and the health of our planet, the collective. That's really what it's all about. I'm your host, Dr. Benjamin Alter. I am a licensed naturopathic doctor practicing holistic lifestyle medicine all around the world. Through the services that we offer at Alter Health. You can find out more at www.alter.health. And this week on the podcast, we've got another out of the ordinary episode, just me and you together here and now talking. Specifically, I'm going to be reading to you, reading something that I wrote this time, reading an essay, an article, a blog of sorts that I have titled Global Pandemic or Growing Pains. Or maybe both. And before we get into this, I kind of just want to set the stage in terms of where I've been in my thoughts, in my world, in my reality, which is probably not so different than you. I'm obviously a naturopathic doctor. I'm focused and devoted and really obsessed with understanding how the body works and how to support people in being their own healer. That's my real ultimate mission, is supporting you in being your own healer, understanding how to heal yourself, not rely on medicine and pharmaceuticals and outside intensive forces, but really cultivating health from within through whole food, plant-based nutrition, of course, and also understanding how our thoughts, relationships, relationship with stress, these kind of things influence our physiology as well. So anyways, that's kind of my mission, my passion, my purpose, if you will. But I haven't really been thinking too much about the individual health and healing. Of course, I'm meeting with my clients and we're working with our group mastermind and things like that. We're continuing down that path. Absolutely, 100%. But also, I would say in my quote-unquote spare time, free time, I'm not doing research on like individual health stuff anymore. That's not where my passion and wisdom and inspiration is guiding me. I'm being guided towards understanding really what the opportunities are collectively, culturally, socially, because I feel a lot of tension, and I think I'm not alone here. You know, I feel tension both within my close-knit circle, my family. We're not really on the same page, same wavelength with regard to the global pandemic scenario. And I feel a lot of tension with friends through social media connections, a lot of conflicting data and information, a lot of tension is really being I witness both, you know, personally in my body, tension in those relationships. And I also witness tension and conflict and arguments and discussions, social media threads, YouTube videos. And there's just a lot of unrest. And my intention of this episode is, once again, usually it's very much always the intention, is to really find a place of peace, understanding, so that we can really be connected with our inherent health and wisdom that is always present. So that's the intention behind this essay, article, blog that I've written, and behind like my extracurricular activities in my free time, as I am indulging in a lot of news, not so much like news, like mainstream news, but, you know, just thoughts and opinions, and keeping my mind open to what is being said on the fringes as well as in the middle, so to speak. I don't know. It's all, there's so much, right? There's so much. Anyway, so this thing that I wrote here, the global pandemic or growing pains, or maybe both. I published it on Medium just a few days ago, and for some reason I didn't publish it on the Alter Health blog. Maybe I will. I might as well, right? I'm reading it on the Alter Your Health podcast, so I might as well publish it on the Alter Health blog. But the reason why I didn't right off the bat was because this isn't really about individual health and what you can do to support your body, even though we know that as we support the collective, as we tune into the collective opportunities and collective healing, we very much support ourselves by cultivating peace inside, a state of physiologic nervous system experience that supports the body, and being in a state that allows health to happen. And also, as we allow our own health to manifest from within, we are more capable to support the collective. So it's not like individual or collective and or collective versus individual. It's one and the same, right? So I'm just giving myself more reason to put this on the Alter Health blog. But anyways, I'm sure I've got more thoughts to share. And the thing about me and writing, I love to write. I find my flow when I'm writing. But after I write anything, I read it through and I'm just like, you know, that's not the best. That could be better. So as I read this through, I'm sure I'll have some of those thoughts, some of those responses inside. So let's just, I'll share some of those maybe on the other side of this. So here we go. Let's dive into this one together. Global pandemic or growing pains, or maybe both. As a self-identifying optimist, always looking at the inherent good in all people and situations, I find myself in times of struggle, witnessing the fate of humanity drift along the same trajectory we know to be futile. Rather than stocking my pantry with bottled water and canned foods, or maybe more appropriately, stitching a parachute to catch my fall as we collectively barge through the guardrail and off the cliff that social trajectory seems to accelerate toward, I thought I'd rather compose myself and collect my thoughts as nothing more than an exercise to stay grounded and present in a space of peace that I at least conceptually know is here. Maybe you'll find peace as well, and together, from there, we can continue the necessary shift to create the more healthy, peaceful, and beautiful world we desire. I am a progressive thinking, truth seeking, utopia scheming millennial, always doing my best to keep my mind open and learn from life. I share these traits not in any way to qualify me for any position or task, but to simply help you know where I aim to orient my thoughts and my efforts. In the following, I promise to not add any news, any fake news, any statistics, or any other data into your already overflowing mind. In the year 2020 alone, there has been more than enough generated content to keep the entire human race sufficiently occupied with thought to last a lifetime. Not that we humans ever need any fuel to stoke the eternal flames that power the thought factory between our ears. Most are churning out more thought than ever before. Amusing, enticing, tasty thinking that is addictive by its very nature, urging us to think more and more and more until we implode, erupt, withdraw, or pass out from the downstream biochemical buildup in the body. The steadfast autopilot in us all blinks awake to do it all again another day. I've had to remind myself that life is for learning. Not just my life, but all of life. As youngsters, we explore, we get into trouble, we fall down, we have our hearts broken, and hopefully give ourselves the opportunity to experience the fullness of life through other adventure. Learning opportunities persist all throughout life as the curriculum itself evolves. We move along, growing and mastering certain things, struggling with others. Slowly but surely, we mature. Of course, some faster than others. I'm not a parent, but I have been a child, and so have you. The movement towards maturity is unique for each of us, but always involves developing social awareness and skills. The process is natural and effortless, almost as if we are all programmed with the necessary wisdom to come into our own. Now, of course, we know that our physical and social environment plays into our maturation process, but we do grow up regardless. And just as human beings grow up, so do kittens, so do dandelions, so do gophers, each programmed with that same wisdom. We could also make an argument that collective communities, populations, and cultures also mature. An entire society can learn a lesson or discover some truth that is part of the educational curriculum of maturation. We can see examples of this collective evolutionary process through events associated with the abolition of slavery or the feminist movement. And then there are discoveries such as identifying cigarette smoke as a carcinogen that forever changed the world, however slowly it may be. Maybe that inner wisdom present in us all is also alive in the collective. And if this is the case, growth, learning, and evolution is inevitable for ourselves and for the world at large. Now, learning and growing isn't always fun and easy. In fact, in the moments of growth, I don't think it is ever fun or easy. The process almost always involves some stress or strain, physically or energetically or emotionally. Science even says that on a fundamental level, growth requires stress. I remember being in my tweens, lying in bed, and feeling the deep, cramping pains in my legs that would keep me awake. I was told these were growing pains, but that didn't make it feel any better. And how about the handful of heartbreaks I felt into my young adult years? The emotional pain of these heartbreaks slowly fortified my awareness and understanding of where love ultimately comes from, myself. Could the COVID-19 pandemic be part of the curriculum for collective evolution? On a basic physiologic level, we know that viruses are merely fragments of genetic material that not only elicit an immune response, but also drive human evolution through transference of that genetic material. On the collective level, we have felt the effects of new socioeconomic regulations enforced during this, quote, great pause, which has for many led to some degree of questioning, concern, and growing tension. Is this the tension that we need for true growth and healing collectively? The dramatic downshift in life has forced many to, quote, stay home and save lives. While most have remained busy watching the latest Netflix series, binging on social media, scrubbing the showers, and learning how to cook vegetables, we've also been captive to mainstream propaganda. I don't know about yours, but my email inbox has been absolutely flooded with the latest COVID-19 guidelines and updates from local shops, online businesses, and governmental officials. It's like anyone with an email list instantaneously became the highest authority in global health. Even in the most deliberate attempt to stay less informed, uninformed, or differently informed, we were rapidly force-fed a narrative that has remained consistent in the face of our ever-changing virus-centered reality. Now, before I get disowned from my family as being some crazy anarchist, I just want to say that I am not here to judge what has happened as being right or wrong, good or bad, pretty or ugly. While I can't pretend to hide my true feelings on the matter, I do want to move the conversation forward because growth only moves forward. My own social media binge sessions are an emotional roller coaster. Fear, hope, anger, sarcasm, love, anger, fear, fear, and fear. I guess there tends to be more fear than anything else. Maybe it's just a testament to the quality of my social media connections, though I get the feeling that I am not alone here. I am keenly aware of the human tendency to surround ourselves with others who reflect acceptance and validation for our thoughts and ideas. The gravity of confirmation bias turns our head to see that which best meshes with our current worldview. And the echo chambers have amplified in our fortified silos. I get it. I do get it. Acceptance and belonging are arguably the most basic human needs, which many do feel deprived from. We all want to see what makes us feel good, and we all simply want to be seen, be heard, and be accepted. I've always been pretty level-headed and moderate in my beliefs. While I am a vegan, and I do think that individual, collective, and planetary health and well-being would greatly advance if we move towards this way of eating and living, I avoid condemning anyone who holds thoughts or behaviors that conflict with mine. While I do believe in social justice and equal opportunity for all, you will not see me marching in any demonstration. I trust and respect the innate wisdom and health in all of life. The current state of social polarization is intense and volatile. It's as if all of humanity is caught in a storm out at sea, each in our individual lifeboat. We know that it is smartest to cooperate, to congregate, and tie together as the storm passes through. We toss a line to those who share common values and beliefs, hoping to recruit more and more onto our growing mass of rubber boats. But as waters grow even more and more choppy, groups of boats split apart as social rifts create more division. Two groups become four, and four become eight. I long for the times when disputes were clean and simple. Left versus right, Democrats versus Republicans, pro-choice versus pro-life. The waters are getting even more muddled in this social storm. Socio-political generalizations we've made no longer hold true. For example, a growing number of progressive leftists think that opening up the economy isn't such a bad idea. Some Republicans think we should all stay masked up and quarantined until we've got a vaccine. Even stubborn moderates are starting to consider the validity of some far-out conspiracy theories that seemed totally wacko just last week. It isn't just gun-carrying skinheads who are protesting for their freedom, and it isn't just NPR-listening nurses who oppose such protests. It isn't just tin hat-wearing conspiracy theorists who question what is being said on CNN, NBC, Fox News, or in the latest viral video on social media. Our camps are getting subdivided as polarities are stretched even further apart. Am I the only one feeling this growing tension of this great schism? When I tune into most media outlets, the us versus them narrative persists. It is now common practice for news stories to skew the words of leaders and authoritative figures to maintain a message that further drives the separation. I thought this was an innocent attempt of mainstream media to create the necessary drama to keep viewer numbers up and ratings high. Now, the critical thinker in me wonders if there is a more sinister agenda. Divide and conquer is apparently one of the oldest plays in the book that has been repeated throughout history. Hitler said, quote, "Our strategy is to destroy the enemy from within, to conquer him through himself," end quote. But he didn't make up this strategy. Apparently, Julius Caesar is given credit for the idea. Though we could presume this tactic stems back to the beginning of human civilization and politics. By whom are we at risk of being conquered? I'm not so sure, and my point is not to move forward any conspiratorial agenda, but to simply point out the obvious weakness that is inherent in our separateness. Criticizing and demeaning those who don't share views on a topic is childish behavior. It's like two kids on the playground arguing about how to properly traverse the monkey bars. It's time to grow up. We all want peace. We all want love. We all want truth. We all want justice. Humans pretty much are identical with regard to these basic desires. And as far as our physicality is concerned, we humans are about 99.9% genetically identical as well. Despite our differences in colors, beliefs, languages, or any trivial opinions, if we go back far enough in human archives, we are essentially cousins. Of course, bickering with family is normal. I am an expert at finding the smallest point for which I can share my strong opinion. But if we focus on the common ground, our collective desire for peace, love, truth, and justice, our unity is quite literally the most powerful force imaginable. Someone just recently asked me how I know that everyone is indeed devoted to finding the truth. I didn't have a clear answer for him. I suppose not all of us feel compelled to move towards the ultimate truth. With that in mind, regardless of the inherent desire to pursue truth, I do believe it is crucial that we do our best to avoid sabotaging that pursuit for others. The word truth is in itself quite a controversy. The thing is, we very, very rarely have an absolute hard fact truth on any matter. Just the other day, it was pointed out that we really don't even have concrete evidence that there is a novel virus in this current global pandemic situation, since tests just look for DNA and we are exposed to and shed DNA constantly as normal, healthy humans. It's really hard to pinpoint the virus. Again, my point is not to advance any conspiratorial ideas, but to just get us to slow down and use more of our brains beyond just our audiovisual processing centers. The inherent freedom to pursue truth is what has led to the present flowering of human consciousness. The beautiful fruits of creative expression that we enjoy today, from the internet to our favorite TV series to the medicine that helps us heal, are all direct results of that freedom. The data scientists didn't stop after they connected two systems via Ethernet. Now we have high-speed access to the World Wide Web at our fingertips across the globe. And thankfully, the TV screenwriter didn't stop after season one of your favorite show. Now we get to binge a couple dozen more episodes. And thankfully, medical researchers did not stop their creative pursuits after the discovery of penicillin. For now, we have many medicines that have saved the lives of millions. So, should we all blindly surrender our creative freedom, the very inspiration that drives us through life, and trust what someone or some media source tells us as the ultimate truth? Do we want to live in a world where we are socially shamed or outright censored for innocently questioning a dominant narrative? Should we all just allow the truth-seeking and critical thinking parts of ourselves to atrophy and politely follow the leader as if we were in kindergarten? Humanity is maturing. We are completing our childhood and adolescence years. Things are weird, just like they were weird when you moved out of your parents' house and into the college dorm. We might get into some trouble or maybe even gain the freshman 15, but everything will be okay. Everything will always be okay if we just let it be. We don't need a riot, a revolt, or any abrupt reaction to the current state of affairs. Things do not change with force. The universe is 99.99999999999% empty space. I think I said enough nines. Pure nothingness. That includes me and you. Our flesh and blood is mostly nothing. This so-called energy that makes up the vast majority of our physical world reality is dynamic, fluid, and the very stuff through which change happens. Force moves matter, but power creates the energy that effects transformation. If we can center ourselves in our peace and love, yes, it is in there, and pursue truth from there, we will create a just and peaceful world. I know it might sound absurd, and the news feeds you information that feels much more pressing to worry about. However, there are a couple of things I do know for certain. The first is that ingesting media and worrying about the world will never, by any measure, yield a productive outcome. Secondly, change is constant and inevitable, and the world as we once knew it will definitely never be the same. And this is an incredibly important and exciting fact. Herein lies the incredible opportunity to actually, physically, and energetically create the more healthy, peaceful, and beautiful world that we desire. Social distancing and fear-mongering may have us feeling alone and afraid. It might feel like we are fending for ourselves on our little lifeboat as society seems to become more and more fractioned. However, you are not alone, and you have nothing to fear, besides, of course, fear itself. Yet fear is a normal human emotion, often experienced from our thoughts of approaching unknown territories. Excitement is a similar emotion. On this new horizon and amidst the stormy seas, we have a grand adventure to create for ourselves. Our entire world is faced with a great test right now, a final exam of sorts. This is our opportunity to graduate and move beyond the childish habits and stories that no longer serve us. This test is open book, and we have each other to collaborate with. We have as long as we need to complete this test, and there is no failing, but only opportunities for success. It is time to open our minds and put our heads together. Here and now, in the eye of this great storm, we can allow ourselves to remain open to the source of wisdom that guides our individual and collective growth. The advancement of our culture depends on harnessing our authentic power from a collective letting go. Can we let go of the grudges and differing opinions? Can we surrender the insatiable desire to be right? Or will we dig our heels in even deeper to resist and suffer through this period of growth? This isn't easy, not for me anyways. My desire to be right is strong, but thankfully, my desire for peace, happiness, and health is stronger. So, global pandemic or growing pains? Maybe it is both. And yes, my desire to be right is strong, but my desire for peace, for health, for happiness, for collective evolution and the advancement of our society is stronger. So that's the end of this here essay. In reading it, I feel energized. I do. I don't feel as critical of it as I thought I might. I feel hopeful. I feel excited. I feel the sense of opportunity and possibility that really does lie in front of us all. And also, just to point us back to the fundamental truth that we must serve ourselves before we serve others. We must put on our masks and fill our cups before we help others. And I think it is such a commonplace, such a normal human tendency to neglect our human needs and desires and just try to fix and serve those around us. And that's interesting. You know, it is interesting that we tend to do that. But I think that here and now, in this great pause, as we start to quite literally open back up the economy, the world, and start to quite literally create this new reality, I think that it is really, really important to take advantage, to take full advantage of this opportunity that still persists to continue nourishing and nurturing yourself. Both, you know, nutritionally with all of the food and water and air that your body needs to operate, you know, at top notch with all the rest and movement and sleep and all that kind of stuff, but also continuing to nurture yourself spiritually, give your soul what it is yearning for. And if it's yearning for more time outside, more time in nature, more time with loved ones, allow yourself to listen to that voice that is calling you in the direction of nurturance, because you can't have as big of an impact in your life if you're not totally filled up on that level as well. So continue to do that, and also continue to, you know, ask yourself, how can I show up and serve from a peaceful place, rather than react, rather than, you know, have a knee-jerk response. You know, quiet down and just allow for a little bit of space between the stimulus, between the outside force and your reaction. There is an opportunity to create that space and to live life not in reactionary mode, but in a mindful mode that really cherishes the stillness moments that are available everywhere and anywhere. So let's see if I have any other thoughts. Oh yeah, my only other thought, which really wasn't fully emphasized in this article too much. I mean, I put the word in there about censorship, but it's something that I am increasingly sensitive and aware of, even since I wrote this a few days ago, noticing how YouTube videos and Facebook posts and all sorts of social media stuff is really being censored. And that's sad, scary, I don't know. It's worrisome. It is for me because I consider the internet as just being this immense playground of creativity and ideas and inspiration, people coming together and sharing thoughts and hopefully collaborating and creating new ideas and stuff. And of course, I understand that some information might be, quote, harmful or provocative or outside of the box. But where do, if we're censoring things, like where do you draw the line? I think that rather than censoring, quote, potential harmful information or anything like that, we have an opportunity to cultivate and connect with our inner critical thinker that is able to let go of information and take in information that feels good and hold on to the information that feels true to us. Because, like I said, the ultimate truth is really hard to pinpoint. It's really, really hard to pinpoint the ultimate truth in physical world reality. But there is this ultimate universal truth that isn't really, that isn't really, that we can't really pinpoint in physical world reality. The truth of what feels right, what feels true, that personal inherent truth that just resonates. And there's a lot of things that resonate for one person that doesn't resonate for another. And I don't think we should allow outside corporations and forces and people or places of power to tell us what is and isn't true for us. So I hope that makes sense, and I hope that's not too controversial. But in any case, I do appreciate you for being here, for opening your mind, opening your heart. I think the world needs more people like you who are just committed to living in a direction where the mind stays open, the heart stays open, and we can come together and collaborate and have fun because that's really what I feel like the next phase of humanity is all about. I feel like we have been literally in my lifetime, I'm not that old. Like I feel like the last handful of years, there's been this shift. Like we're getting there, we're getting to the tipping point, and we are like literally about to tip the teeter-totter like into the next dimension, the next phase, whatever it might be, graduating from high school or whatever it is, we're about to make that leap together collectively as humanity. That's the feeling for me. And I feel excited. I feel excited and hopeful, and I feel like there's just an incredible opportunity that we have to harness our collective, cooperative, collaborative powers together and enjoy it rather than maintain this childish, argumentative tension that really gets us nowhere. It really does. So hopefully that points us in a direction that is health promoting. I think it does. And once again, as we start to and continue healing the collective, the individual heals as well. And as we heal the individual, the collective heals as well. We are one and the same, two sides of the same coin, maybe even. Yeah, that's what we are. The individual and collective are two sides of the same coin. So let's not forget about ourselves. Let's not forget about the collective. Let's remember and focus on healing them together and understand and appreciate that inherent healing force, that wisdom, that potential that is alive in each and every one of us. Because we can't really, what we're talking about here and what we're orienting ourselves towards is not something that we can actually mechanically like do. It's much more of an allowing. It's much more of an opening up to and to allowing that energy, that movement, that same movement that moves the flowers towards opening up towards the sun. It's like that allowing, that movement, it doesn't come from your muscles. You can't muscle it, right? So once again, words are hard to talk about this kind of stuff, but I appreciate you for allowing me to at least try, right? So that's all I got for you on this week's episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. Just a reminder, this podcast is, it's always changing. Next week, we do have a guest on the podcast, so get excited for that. But I don't know what things are going to look like in the future. I'm staying open to the flow of inspiration, maybe some more monologue readings, thoughts like this. Also, guests are definitely going to be in the equation as well. So yeah, things are looking bright and good in the direction of the Alter Your Health podcast. If you aren't yet subscribed, just a reminder to hit the subscribe, leave a comment, leave some feedback, let me know how this lands. And also an announcement about the plant-based and stress-free Facebook group. It's a free Facebook group on Facebook where Dr. Susanna, the co-host and co-founder of Alter Health, and myself, we facilitate a lot of awesome stuff, including a live episode of this podcast every Thursday, and then a medicinal Monday thing that we do, a kind of a conversation with the group. And also we do these whole food plant-based challenges, and we've got a challenge coming up at the end of May. So if you're interested in getting a lot of information about how to implement sustainably a whole food plant-based diet into your life, and also focus on, you know, understanding other lifestyle practices. All of our whole food plant-based challenges are a little bit different. This one coming up, we're calling the Stress-Free Series. It's starting at the end of May, I believe May 25th. My dad's birthday just popped in my mind. I think it's also Memorial Day this year. So anyways, May 25th, Whole Food Plant-Based Challenge, the Plant-Based and Stress-Free Facebook group. Find us at facebook.com/groups/alterhealth. And I think that's it, you guys. We made it through. And thanks again for sticking with it. Sending you all off with blessings of peace and love. Look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast.